T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
First, I'd like to thank Brian Flores for all that he's done for the Miami Dolphins. He's a very good man, and I wish him the best. And I'm sure we'll see him again as an NFL coach.
Steven, I'd like to ask you what role, if any, the quarterback position played in this decision. Was there a question over whether Tua is your man for the future? How much does Deshaun Watson play into it? And was there disagreement over which direction you should go at quarterback?
Well, first of all, let me be clear. It played no role in it at all. I have a lot of confidence in Tua. And I think, you know, the next head coach will work with him or whoever else. But I have a lot of confidence in him. I watched him grow. I think he's a fine young man. And, you know, he is right now the quarterback and will be dependent upon the new head coach. But I have a lot of confidence in Tua. Well, I mean, I've been looking at this over 3 years now and watching the organization grow. And I think an organization can only function if it's collaborative and it works well together. And I don't think that we were really working well as an organization that it would take to really win consistently at the NFL level.
All right, that was Steven Ross. You don't get a lot of Steven Ross. And watching it yesterday, folks, as you're getting up at 6:03 in the morning to join us, I cringed every time they asked him a question and what the answer was going to be. I'm not going to lie to you. I was like, oh, God, what is coming next? What is going to be said that the organization is going to have to follow up on from Steven Ross with the amount of criticism that took place yesterday? We got a lot of time for that. And we got a good celebration going. Nick Saban lost the national championship game. My man Kirby Smart. Yeah, he's my man now. My man Kirby Smart in that fourth quarter last night. What a game, though. I got to tell you, what a game. I caught most of it this morning when I came in, especially the fourth quarter. And I got to tell you, it was tight game. Bama had the lead late in the game before Georgia scored 20 straight points, and Kirby was a favorite. I think we're all kind of wondering, like, he already got his ass kicked. Why is he a favorite in this game? And they end up getting a nice win. So many great stories, too, Zach, with it. Stetson Bennett, walk-on quarterback, beats the Heisman Trophy winner, and we had injuries that obviously affected the game. Jameson Williams got injured early in the game, who just might be the best friggin' receiver in another one of those explosive fast. Looks like he's going to be an unbelievable NFL player down the road. And I don't know how bad his knee is. I hate, as a father and being injured late in seasons, it makes me sick to my stomach when I see a guy's knee buckle at the end of his season. I do, especially when he's as good as a guy like Jameson Williams, who just put up monster numbers. But a lot of crazy stuff.
It's eerily
stuff.
Similar to the Meechiator injury that happened in the game against Georgia beforehand. You know, like, happened early in the game, one of their top receivers, and they get hurt also. It was just eerily similar to that it happened that early in the game. It happened to their number one wide receiver.
And listen, he was just wide open in the middle of the field and ended up catching it and, you know, made a nice catch and then just kind of turned and buckled. Like, he's probably done that 4,000 times, and it was just crazy. So that took place in a crazy game. And by the way, if you weren't aware of it last night, yes, there were a lot of South Florida players playing in that game last night, and a lot of them ended up having really good games and played, and we'll get into that. It's always fun when you're watching a game, and, well, maybe not fun for some, saying, well, why some of those guys didn't stay at home. But James Cook, Dalvin Cook's brother, yes, if you didn't know that, from Central High School, 67-yard run last night. Kenny McIntosh, also one of the running backs for Georgia, also went to University High School down here. Yes, his brother is the same guy, I believe, that played for the Miami Hurricanes. Dallas Turner, Jordan Battle, yes, St. Thomas Aquinas guys, and Ja'Cory Brooks also in the group, a wide receiver, Booker T, before going to IMG. So we are well represented, man. If you're wondering, old Dayton Broward had a big part of the game last night as well. And so we'll talk more about that. But it was just good. Listen, it's good for football to see Georgia actually win. And Kirby Smart, who has been with Nick Saban forever before finally taking this head coaching job at Georgia, which, by the way, is obviously a great job. And in fairness to him, I know when Mark Richt was out and Kirby got the job, people were going, what are we doing? Listen, Kirby Smart, and I'm a big Mark Richt fan and known him forever, but Kirby Smart took this recruiting thing to a whole different level. And if you saw that game last night, you realized they matched up pretty damn well talent-wise with Alabama in that game last night. So there was a lot of stuff. We'll talk more about it. But, yeah, Kirby Smart and Georgia gets their first national championship in a long, long time. It's a hell of a story. And actually, Nick Saban had nice things to say. He should, by the way. Kirby Smart was his defensive coordinator for a long, long time, was down here. Miami came down here with him as well to coach with him. With the Miami Dolphins, so Kirby has been around for a long time and been through the Nick Saban school for a long, long time as well. We talked about the other story coming out yesterday that was interesting. As I just kind of sat back, my phone blew up all day yesterday, and I apologize, but I was in no mood to sit and call everybody back and get back on text yesterday and everything. I've got my own very, very strong opinions about things. I don't agree with the organization on a lot of things that they did yesterday. I don't at all for the stuff. Brian Flores, I figured some of that stuff that Brian wanted to do things the way Brian Flores is a head coach. There was obviously disconnect, which, by the way, is not the first time it's happened between a head coach and a general manager down here. You'd have to wait in line on that one. It's been around for a long, long time. And so a lot of people came out nationally and just blasted the Miami Dolphins yesterday for firing Brian Flores and sticking with Chris Greer, which is the number one thing my phone got yesterday, either through text or if I did pick up the phone, is how did Chris Greer keep his job? And
I think that was the number one thing nationally too, through everybody. How do you keep the guy that picked Tua over Herbert and get rid of your coach? And that was the main thing I got yesterday after watching all the national pundits all put their two cents in. You kept the guy that drafted Tua over Herbert. How does that happen when you're firing everybody?
So, and then I listened to the owner, Mr. Ross, speak yesterday, and he said, I just really liked our 2021 draft. And I was like, well, that's great. I do too. But what about the 2020 draft that had a left tackle, a quarterback, and a cover corner in the first round? We went 0-3. Yeah. So, like, are we just going to leave that one out? That was the start of it. That was the biggest part of the rebuild. And it was like, yeah, it just kind of flew by. I will say this. Chris Greer got to be the nicest human being of all time in the Miami Dolphins organization. Let me just say that early in the morning. Like, oh man, oh, I heard it yesterday. People in the from the team calling yesterday and hey, you know, I heard you this morning. Good. I'm glad you listened, man. Appreciate you listening. Good. I don't know how much longer I'm going to work, so I appreciate when you guys listen. Wow, he's a really good guy and good guy. Good guy. I want the good guy to come out and say he whiffed on a friggin' quarterback. Justin Herbert, you want to look at his numbers? You want to see what he's done? They have nothing in common, Tua and Justin. Physically, nothing. Not one part of their game. 38 and 15, 5,000 yards, 69 touchdowns passing, and 8 running in 2 years as a starting quarterback for the Chargers. And that was his number one job. No, when Chris, they go, Chris, this is what we're going to do. We're going to do this rebuild, and you're the general manager. You're the main guy. That's what you do. You go out, you evaluate everybody at positions we need to get some franchise guys, starting with a franchise quarterback. Here's what it's going to look like. This is what you need to do. And you're going to go out and do it with your expertise. We'll get you a consulting GM who's got a background. Mr. McKenzie was with the Raiders as a GM. Marvin Lewis came in, assistant GM with the Bills. So we're going to get you a lot of experience with a lot of guys that have seen a lot of different players. You guys have all had your growing pains with good and bad opinions, but we've learned and we've got this experienced group working together for all these picks that we have. And you decided, after evaluating, spending trips, spending time at Senior Bowl, jumping in bed with guys at the Senior Bowl to see how they sleep at night, see what they look like, see how they run, how they interact with each other, and all that stuff. And you took an Alabama guy over the guy from Oregon. And you can't take it back, but it's on your resume forever.
Forever.
And will never go away, but yeah. And all I get yesterday is, what a good guy Chris Greer is. What a good guy. What a good team guy he is. Wow, really. So that's what football's become. If you're a really, really good guy, you can keep your job. That's incredible.
Even if you don't do your job well, it doesn't matter, right?
As long so he's had, in fairness, so this didn't just sound like a radio dog pile job today. He's had some good drafts. He's had some very good drafts again. Not to forget the ones that he's had that were good, going back to this draft that he just had was a good one. The 2016 with Tunsil, X-Man, and Kenyon Drake and Jakeem Grant was outstanding, although we ended up getting rid of most of those guys. It didn't work out. But, yeah, first, second, third round picks, Tunsil, Xavier Howard, and Kenyon Drake was a damn good draft. That was some really, really good work. But he's also had some really, really bad drafts. And he got a lot of picks in 2020, and we did
not. But that's what we base everything off, that 2020 draft, because that was the beginning of this entire thing.
Correct.
That he was really put in charge of. He's been with this team for 20 years. So it's, you know, he's been around this team or in the scouting department for 2 decades. But when he was put in charge, his first draft, which is the biggest draft, as we said, in this franchise's history, he whiffed. And he whiffed on the quarterback. And when you whiff on the quarterback, you normally don't keep your job.
Well, that was the problem. That was the old saying we had, Jack, right? Was the if you get a chance, and this is if you miss on the quarterback, a lot of guys get fired through the years. A lot of guys that have whiffed on quarterbacks, it ends up costing general managers their jobs. But apparently we just do everything as a group, and when it's bad, it's a group. And when it's really good, it goes back to Chris Greer. So I guess if the people that love Chris Greer are trying to tell me, well, what about this and that? I go, yeah, well, what about this and this and this? Like, you guys only want to bring when it's really good is Chris Greer. When it's really bad, apparently Coach Flores was involved in the decision too. I don't freaking get that. I'm not sure how that works. And except we just like people, and they have great people skills. And this goes on. So anyway, to everybody called me and said, how did Chris Greer keep his job? He's a really good guy. He's a really, really good guy. And so that's it. Yeah, you don't get a chance to talk to him. His ass should have been up there talking yesterday. It should have been Stephen Ross. And now Stephen Ross goes, okay, Honestly, I haven't been around this that much except coming down on game day. So now I'm going to let Chris Greer come over here, and he can do some talking. And we could have done that. We could have done more of that. But anyway, yesterday, obviously, there was a lot of people blasting this organization with all the other people that were dumped yesterday, head coaches and general managers. By the way, shockingly, it looks like Joe Judge is going to keep his job.
How did that happen?
There's another one. I know what it's like down here. I can't even imagine what it's like if they let Joe Judge, who, by the way, started saying stupid stuff, too. Recently, it's one thing when your team's really bad, and then you start saying stuff, and people, these writers have been around forever going, what the F is he talking about? Started saying crazy stuff. This is not a clown show. This is not a joke. You're getting your ass kicked every week. That's what this is about. Stop, and all these guys for that left the team want to come back and play for it. Like, So Joe Judge is looks like, as of yesterday, after Gettleman retired, better known as was getting ready to get fired,
forced retirement, left, yes,
and so Joe Judge somehow is gonna last. So it's credible stuff that was going on. I know a lot of you want to know the inside story on exactly what happened and what the divide was over. And listen, Coach Flores was not perfect by any means. Offensively, I know he didn't like this. And listen, I thought he was really good as far as leadership and discipline. He's got that, and we've had some other coaches that didn't have that, didn't have control of the team, and did it my way or the highway. And Coach Flores is one of those new school but old school stuff that players respected, was great with his defense, but was equally as bad with his offense, and went through offensive line coaches and coordinators and did some crazy stuff that had us all kind of scratching our heads behind the scenes trying to figure it out what he was doing. So there was definitely a dysfunction on the offensive side of the ball, in my opinion, that we didn't have on the defensive side, not to mention this thing was loaded with a much better talented group on defense and offense. And so, listen, all that stuff is fair, just to be fair this morning, so this doesn't sound like a dog pile where the couple 400-pound kids are coming in late to jump on and the poor kid on the bottom can't breathe and stuff. If you've ever done that dog pile, you got to yell dog pile before you do it as a kid, though. It used to be dog pile, and little Johnny goes, oh, not me again, no. And then they all jumped
pretty
on.
Sure those are banned now.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. It's a good point, Woody.
2021, bro.
No, I know, bro.
I'm sorry, 2022.
The big fat kid stuff I know is out, man. I know.
Can't say it anymore, right.
You know, and we had fun with big women and stuff. They have feelings, too. We're done with all that stuff. There's no question. We got to go to break here. We got a lot more stuff to get to here this morning. Yeah, we're not done. We're not done. We're just getting started. Stay with us. We'll be back in a moment.
Are they
selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Punishing Brian Flores for not drafting Justin Herbert? Was right. that his decision?
Right.
Like they took Tua? I have no, there's no other reason. I can't really come up with it. We don't know the inside of it, but I'm surprised by this.
Yeah, I think it's a mistake.
Yes, I agree.
Here's my struggle with it, because the NFL is a results-driven league. We all know this. Oftentimes, coaches who are good men get fired and we go, you just didn't get it done.
Yeah.
He's got back-to-back winning seasons.
Yeah.
He's beaten New England twice this year. Mm-hmm. 10-6 and 9-8 the last 2 years. And for me, it feels eerily similar to what happened to Jim Caldwell in Detroit.
Yeah.
We're like, it was good, but the expectations were to be better. Mm-hmm. And you fire a coach that is a really good coach, and you're going to regret it in the long run. I think that's what's going to happen.
That's a great comparison.
It feels that way.
That's a great comparison. I will just throw this out there. This is pure speculation. I'm not reporting anything. I want to make that clear. That there have been flirtations in the past between the owner of that team, Stephen Ross, and Jim Harbaugh.
Right.
Stephen Ross is a Michigan guy. He's from Detroit. He went to Michigan. There was a time when he wanted to hire Jim Harbaugh there, and it didn't go that way. We have speculated about the possibility of Harbaugh jumping back into the NFL. That feels like something that could be out there. Again, I want to make it clear that is pure speculation on my part.
Don't worry, you weren't the first one to think it there. You're okay, Greeny. Don't worry about that. Nobody's going to quote you and call your bosses at ESPN and say you're breaking some story there, as Stephen Ross came out and said, Jim Harbaugh's not leaving Michigan because of me. I love my college. I love my school. And I would not be the reason for him to leave. With my relationships, and what he left out is, and the amount of money I spent with that damn school, with the business school and the sports department, to let this guy go.
But that doesn't mean if Jim Harbaugh wants to leave Michigan that Stephen Ross wouldn't hire him down here in Miami. There's a big difference.
Yeah,
too.
I would guess that would change things. Yes,
I don't think Stephen Ross is going to call Jim Harbaugh and say, "Hey, listen, I want you to come coach my team. Leave Michigan," but. If Jim Harbaugh wants to leave Michigan and test the NFL waters again, I can imagine Stephen Ross would be his first phone call, or Stephen Ross would be his first phone call to come coach my team and take over my franchise. It was a little worded yesterday, because yes, he's not going to be the guy that rips him from Michigan, but if he wants to leave Michigan, he'll be the guy to rip him back to the NFL.
I don't even know if I'm a Harbaugh guy for the NFL.
Oh, I'm not.
Just,
I'm not.
Like, stay in Michigan. And
right, right. I'm with you on that one.
Figure out how to play Georgia and have a competitive game. That's
finally beat Ohio State, and the guy's now like on top of the mountain again.
Well, right? Listen, that's man, right. If there is a time to leave, you finally beat him, so you don't have to worry about people going, oh, you left because you couldn't beat Ohio State. I got right. him finally. I got him. Yep. Finally got him. So, listen, we had, speaking of that, last night had ourselves a hell of a game as, boy, I tell you what, Alabama took the lead in the fourth, 18-13, and you're going, man, Bama's going to friggin' win this game again. And Georgia comes back and scores 20 straight points, including a couple of touchdown passes and a pick six, as they end up winning that game 33-18. And a lot of fun stuff back and forth in that game.
Very curious to see the ratings when they come out eventually here. That game, by the way, was on like 8 channels last night.
Yep.
Like when I went to my little cable guide, you go to like the 200s there, and there was like 8 different broadcasts of that game last night. But I am very curious to see the ratings, because for me, the fatigue set in last night. Like that game just did not do it for me to watch.
Oh, good.
Two teams
I hope
again,
you didn't watch it.
No, no, I'm just curious to see what the ratings look like.
Knocked the friggin' game. It ended up being a great game.
It was a great game.
Back and forth.
About?
And
yeah.
There was some big plays by both teams. There was some mistakes, obviously. Again, I hate when your best receiver for a second time, Alabama, loses Jamison Williams in the second quarter of that game, wide open in the middle of field, turns and like he's done it a million times. Yeah, I'm not worried about fatigue. Listen, man, they're the two best teams. They're the two best teams. And I know, Woody, you don't go back, but I had to go with this with Florida, and Florida State had to play each other again at the Sugar Bowl. And it was the same deal. Different results in that game the second time around. So, I don't know if they're the best team at the time, but clearly these were the two best teams.
I agree that they're the best teams, and the other teams got their shot. The Cincinnati, they got their shot. But I'm just wondering, like, what level of fatigue do people have with these SEC games, these rematch games? And it seems like it's the same schools every year. So I'm just curious what the ratings are going to look like from this game.
Well, that's
I'm just curious what you want to happen if these are the two best teams. You want to have not the best teams in this game? Like, if Georgia and Alabama, whether it's every year or not, like, what do you do to stop that?
There's nothing you can do because right now the SEC is so much better than every other conference out there. That's the bigger problem right now is we got a lot of kids going to basically 4, 5, 6 different schools that are going to have a chance. And by the way, if you jump in the SEC, you better know what you're getting into because one of those bad SEC jobs right now, probably not going to be a for long job. If you get in there and you can't compete, listen, we got some – Jimbo's doing a great job, and he's having trouble competing, right? Jimbo Fisher, who had a great recruiting class and looks like he's got to fight the same battle. LSU, guy goes from winning a national championship with one of the most talented teams we've ever seen, especially offensively, and that guy's got fired. They worked something out with him, like, go ahead, you can coach the rest of the year, but your ass is done. Like, didn't I just win with Joe Burrow and a bunch of really talented guys? Yeah, but you're out,
too,
man.
Too long ago, right?
Can't do it. And the machine. And by the way, Georgia's got a nice little machine going right now with Alabama as well. So this that's a tough one, but boy, that conference is loaded. And again, I think you go back to. You can look at the national recruiting classes that took place, the first one in December. And if I'm not mistaken, it looks something like Georgia, Alabama, Texas A&M, I believe, were 1, 2, and 3, if I'm not mistaken, before Notre Dame,
I think, one of those orders,
splashed
yeah.
in there. So it was one of the stories. So that was
– Hurricanes get to see Texas A&M game 3 next year, by the way.
Oh, boy.
Right at College Station.
Oh boy! And so anyway, we had to end up being a good game. Nice comeback last night, and could have gone either way. And again, Stetson Bennett, who constantly gets bashed. Why are you still playing the walk-on quarterback and not the other guy? And he's going against a Heisman Trophy winner last night, and Alabama had already beaten Georgia up pretty good, and they come back and. It's a hell of a comeback for Kirby, man. Bounce back the way he did against Michigan and then keep it going last night. A couple of late touchdown passes and then the pick six that closed it out last night. So pretty fun game to watch. I don't have any kind of problem with it. They were, again, if they're the two best teams, they're two best teams. There's nothing you can do. And by the way, there's nobody else close to either one of those teams. Michigan, no. You want to go around, you want to try to tell me somebody looked really good late in the year. There's just nobody as good as those two teams. They were clearly 1 and 2 and deserved to play each other again. I don't know. I mean, you'd have to really work to find a debate on that game shouldn't have not taken place for a second time last night in the national championship game. And then closer to home, the other story is, and I think we were all surprised by it, and Brian Flores, and I mean, I can break some of the stuff down of what happened and stuff, but divide stuff I was actually a little surprised by because Chris and Brian Flores seem to be, for the most part, on the same page. I know they're never going to agree on everything. I'm still not sure what the GM stands for. Apparently, general manager has a different meaning here, because if things don't go well, it's the head coach's fault. And if they go well and we have some good draft classes, we make sure we put those out there for Chris Greer. So I'm not exactly sure how it – I'm waiting for Chris Greer to take a mic and go, look it, I screwed up this thing with Tua and Justin Herbert. I whiffed instead of, well, the coach and I are on the same page on this one. Mm. I just
You think he'll ever come out and say that? Because I don't.
No,
I don't think he'll ever come out and say
not
why
Tua's,
like
not right. why Tua. Not why Tua's still here, he's not.
But not even when Tua's gone, I don't think he'll even say it. I think it's just damning himself even more at that point.
Well, it's kind of like you're telling me Jeff Ireland never wanted to take responsibility for Deion Jordan. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Yeah.
Or Jonathan Martin.
Has he
background check
that?
There, right. Jeff. Right. Way to check on your guys, man.
Yeah, because don't you get the feeling Tua's not going anywhere, though?
Yes.
After
yes.
yesterday?
Yes. Tua is their quarterback going forward. I mean, I don't see anything else changing at this point.
Well, we'll
this franchise is in a bad spot, man.
Yes,
it does. A really bad spot.
It does not look good. Yesterday morning to the owner talking in front of people, it was not a good day for the Dolphins. It just wasn't, especially after, for whatever it's worth, beating the Patriots for a second time. And
just out of curiosity, now that you have a chance to look back at it, and you've been around this thing for a long time, Joe, what would you have done yesterday if you were Mr. Ross? What would your moves have been personnel-wise yesterday? What would you have done?
I would have now I don't know all the junk that's going on with the team, and apparently it sounds like Chris Greer ran to the principal's office and
yeah, they couldn't play
good.
Nice together, yeah.
Yeah, they right. couldn't play nice, which, by the way, is a norm here. This has gone on for
– forever down here.
Forever.
Right?
We've had some classics without getting into them, and Don Aponte and Jeff Ireland didn't like each
right.
other, and Joe Philbin and Jeff Ireland didn't – well, nobody likes Jeff Ireland. That's part of that deal. I could have stopped there. Not
but
one
that
of,
went in about five different directions when all that was going
oh,
on.
God.
That was just ridiculous, right.
Here's the other problem that goes on. When you're down coaching, and I hear this sometimes, when you're down coaching, and Woody, I'll try to answer that for you the best I can. When you're down coaching and the GM is sitting up there somewhere close to the owner and the CEO and those people, I think coaches always wonder, am I getting bashed by the guy supposed to be on my side? Does he have my back when he goes up there? I think that's because the famous thing with Jeff Ireland is he's sitting there, Don Aponte sitting there, and he's down bashing Joe Philbin about not playing certain guys that he drafted. And Joe said he's not very good, or the other guy has a better player and gives me a better chance to win. So, and then you have something that we had never had, and that was Don Aponte actually run downstairs and tell Joe what Jeff had said. Now, this sounds more like the third grade. I know what you're thinking, but actually happened to grown-ass people in powerful positions.
Sounds like a midday show on, like, CBS.
So Joe's down getting ready to a press conference after the game, and he's finding out this stuff's going on, and he's, yeah, I mean, listen, I'm getting backstabbed while I'm coaching. It sucks. And so anyway, but that was kind of a Jeff Ireland. We got to make sure when Jeff Ireland probably going to get a chance to interview for some of these jobs again, make sure that everybody knows what a rat bastard he is, though, before he gets a chance to.
Wouldn't that be sweet if he got the head job here?
Who?
Jeff Ireland.
What, as a GM?
The coach?
No,
as
the head coach. Just to tick you off if he got a job here.
When was the last time you saw a GM be the head coach? Is that right. make-believe world?
No, but I do want to read you this tweet here. This might have been the best tweet from yesterday. Barry Jackson said, I'm not sure why people getting along makes more difference to Ross than, say, selecting Charles Harris over T.J. Watt. This is not like running a daycare center where all the kids need to get along in a sandbox. One of the many things that perplex me about this franchise.
Yeah.
Right.
That might have been
right.
the best tweet all day yesterday.
Yep. Brian Flores had some really, really good qualities, and one of them was his discipline with the team, not losing the team, knowing how to do tough love with guys. I think he's a really good communicator with his players. Brian Flores had a lot of good qualities as a head coach, I thought. Now, offensively, he just seemed out of touch. He just seemed this thing – I mean – it was obvious to me He was a head coach, but he was a defensive-minded head coach. I mean, that just that's what it looked like the last couple years. There's no question. And the amount of coordinators.
But that offense is so limited, though, man. Like, isn't that unfair to label him that way? That offense is so limited. Like, what else do you want him to do? To score points? Like,
well, the bigger question is this.
It's so limited, Joe.
Well, let me.
And I don't think that that's Flores' fault.
Well, let me ask you that. No. Listen, Chris Greer gets a bunch of this, by the way. Don't think that I'm, like, I'm just critiquing Brian Flores a little bit.
Like, I don't think Tua's very good, and I don't. They don't have a running game. They don't have an offensive line. Like, I don't know how you want them to just magically score points.
Well,
it's not Chris Greer's fault, right?
So how do we get back to this thing? Because Chris Greer, I wouldn't trust him to pick an offensive lineman. I wouldn't trust him to get another shot at a quarterback. Why would he get another shot at a quarterback?
He shouldn't pick any more for this team at any position.
Well, it's too late for that.
Because you want to call Flores a defensive-minded head coach, that's all good and well, but – come on, man. Like, let's be realistic here. You only can be as good as the talent on the field.
Well, let me ask you, how did the talent get so lopsided from defense to offense there, big timer?
Why is the defense so much better?
Yeah.
Well, they have better personnel, Joe.
They have much better players.
Yeah.
So
you're just, I mean, that's what I'm saying, is that the offense is so limited that I don't know what you could have done to have made it all that much better. Like, you think with that group, some other coach, some offensive guru coach is going to come in here and fix this?
No. I think a lot of this just gets back to talent, yes, that we just came up
with. He trusted
the
offensive line, and he trusted what they had in the running back position.
Listen, Chris Greer's been here for a bunch of these bad drafts on the offensive line. He's had, and this is not just about first-round picks, because I don't want him throwing Tunsil in our face. And Tunsil.
Flores put up that takes no talent thing, and I think Greer took that literally.
You think he got it? anybody can put five guys together, but you got to coach them up.
He goes, I'll show this guy. Takes no talent. I'll show this guy. I'll draft some serious bums here.
Well, listen, they've got a couple problems. First of all, to Mr. Ross, this team and offensive talent is not as good as you think it is, the good young talent. It is on the defensive side of the ball, but it is not on the offensive side of the ball. It's just not. And second of all, you have a fan base right now full, and people that follow this team, that have a connection to this team, that are not sold on Chris Greer. In case you didn't get a feel for it yesterday on what took place. Now, he's getting a hall pass with all of you over there at Hard Rock Stadium and parts of New York right now, but he ain't getting a hall pass from me. That's friggin' done. That's done. He's either the softest general manager of all time and gives in to everybody, and then he goes, well, it wasn't me. I just did what everybody wanted, which if that's the case, I don't want the freaking guy to be my GM because he's general manager, man. General manager. It's a strong position.
With no blame to go around for him.
Well, we
Isn't
don't
there
know.
Some part of you that's
talk.
Like impressed by his survival skills, though?
Well, survival skills.
Like, it's a
amazing
world of surviving the job, but like, it's kind of impressive that he's able to screw up that badly and still survive. Like,
he's been there
almost
two
respect that.
He's been the general manager now, I believe. Is it? I see yesterday. I didn't even know. I think it's 7 years he's been the general manager.
But wasn't he like a combo GM with like that other guy and like he wasn't making the picks or something? Wasn't there that other guy was here too? What was his name?
Oh,
Hickey.
Dennis, yeah, right, like weren't they like?
Yeah, so
they've had some strange power structures.
Yeah, we have had. By the way, that's a great point. We've had some weird, weird structure. We have had that. And by the way, when a group gets together to pick a head coach, I'm just really, honestly, I'm so down on everything right now. I probably should have taken another week off here today, this week, just because I don't have anything good to say about what's going on with the Miami Dolphins.
Picked a bad week to get COVID, man.
By the way, the
should've done it this week.
The structure of constantly turnover every 3 years with the head coach and anybody else except for Chris Greer. I have people who spend a lot of money with the organization call me yesterday and go, how does he survive? And I started getting into some of them, and I just put, he's a really nice guy. And can you imagine when people text me back yesterday? A guy texted me back. He goes, what? Oh, he's a really nice guy. Chris is a really nice guy. That's what everybody tells me. Chris Greer's a really nice guy. Doesn't want to be out in front. Doesn't want to be out in front. It's the coach's team. Okay. Well, the coach tried to be out in front with everything and
right.
ends up costing him his job. But just remember this. Today, tomorrow, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, Justin Herbert is with the Chargers. 38 touchdowns, 15 picks, threw for over 5,000 yards. And listen to these numbers for 2 years now. 69 touchdown passes and 8 more running the football. 77 touchdowns and weatherproof arm that he has. He can throw it in the rain. He can throw it in a hurricane. We got a hurricane down here and they decide to play. You wouldn't have had to worry about that arm.
That's yet to be seen. Is he even playing any cold weather games?
Yeah, actually, I know you're not familiar with Oregon. It gets pretty cold up there. I know you don't.
Yeah, I didn't know that. He didn't throw much over there, though.
Hey,
yeah, but he ran. He only ran over there, man.
I went over to Oregon for a recruiting trip, man. One of the reasons I didn't go up there, besides they dumped me off at a party and nobody talked to me, the one night.
The same guy who gives a 30% chance of rain.
Yeah,
like, who's the mountain guy in the corner?
The weather. The guy that had his high school jacket on with a bunch of, letters on there from trying to impress the college girls. All right, listen, we got to go to break here. We've got a lot more, lot of stuff from yesterday, a lot more fallout to get to. We'll have that for you.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Stay with us. We'll be back in a moment.
AM 560 Sports WQAM is giving you the chance, Joe, this is a big one, to win tickets to see Bon Jovi at the FLA Live Arena on April 16th. Here's how you could win. It's easy. Go to WQAM.com and register. That's it. If your name is picked, you're going to win Bon Jovi tickets. Just register at WQAM.com for your chance to see Bon Jovi at the FLA Live Arena April 16th.
All right, Zach, sounds good. Give somebody a chance to win those tickets and forget about what's taking place with the Miami Dolphins right now. So that's good, man. It all ties right in together.
Is that what we're doing? We're just trying to get people's minds off things.
Yeah, yeah. Enjoy the playoffs. Find a new team for the playoffs that you like. What team do you like? I'm kind of a Cincinnati fan during these
Are you? You're rooting for Cincinnati, huh?
Yeah, I'm like, go get him, Joe Burrow and the guys. Go get him, man. Put up a ton of points and see how this goes. I got a little Buffalo in me, too. I like Buffalo.
Interesting. Very interesting.
People are going,
no, no,
you
Buffalo.
Did not say an AFC East
right,
team. I said,
right.
Yeah, that was a little weird.
No.
Yeah. That's an interesting.
Josh Allen, go get him, man.
Yeah.
They jumped over us, too. They had vision. They had great vision. They said, you know what? We're going to jump ahead just in case. Dolphins probably won't do it because they're cowardly to jump up and get Josh Allen because they didn't go do their homework on to see how good potentially he could be. But we have a vision on it. So they jumped ahead, and guess what? They're in the same school as the Chargers right now. They know they got their quarterback. They're not having these discussions in Buffalo and Cincinnati and L.A. Maybe the Rams are, but not the Chargers.
You ready for Pittsburgh at all? It's kind of a nice little story with Ben, no? Kansas City.
Big
Ben still.
Listen, I like Big Ben, but he's still a little dirty. I know he threw the Christian stuff out there. God bless, I've been blessed and all that. I was like, okay, man. All right. Yeah.
You think there's anyone rooting for outside of the city itself, Tampa Bay and Tom Brady to go back-to-back?
I always root for Tom Brady, so.
Yeah. Well, we got a divided.
I just enjoy that level of greatness is just, how can you not, like, enjoy watching
because
that?
I think a lot of people, because he played for New England and they think he cheated.
Tom Brady.
And
well,
so
he did cheat, but like still that level of greatness is not something we're probably ever going to see again in our lifetimes. So may as well enjoy it while it's happening, right?
No, there's not a right for that, but I understand.
Okay,
what
but
you're
we're
saying.
Probably not going to see that again.
No, I would agree.
I don't think you're going to see a quarterback winning Super Bowls in his mid 40s.
Well,
it's very unlikely that you'll see that again.
He doesn't have the same offense that he had
no, he
last year They lost a whole bunch of horsepower in that engine. And to
he's
see,
one with less, though.
He, well, this why this one will be interesting to see how far they go. I know they're hopefully going to get the running backs back here. And
yeah, some guys are coming off that the list and the injured list and the COVID list this week for Tampa Bay. How about last week, by the way, Brady staying in the game to get Gronk that bonus?
I thought that was one of the best stories, especially some of the close-up. Like, he knew exactly. By the way,
yep.
And for everybody out there, and this has always been this way, every player that has a bonus going in has a chance to make extra money by reaching a stat or a playing time number. They know going into the last game exactly what they need, and they tell their quarterback that they're all on the same page and try to help each other. And Brady, that was you see why the guys like Brady. That was,
oh, they love Brady.
Like, come hey, on, I'm not him. Going out. 7 minutes, he goes, no. Well, we got the game. No. I got some more work to do. And don't ask me what it is, but I need to go back in there. And, yes, I'm going to throw some passes.
And went right to Gronk, by the way.
Went back
in the game, went right to him that next
down
play.
Down the sideline,
got him that
catch
seventh
it,
catch. Yep.
Made sure he got it, picked up another.
Was it $500,000 or $1 million? It was
half,
one of those things.
Half a million, yeah. But it might have been $1 million total with the two different incentives.
Right.
So I always love that. So our teams in the years, and I've said this before. So back in the 80s when we were really good, we the last game of the year, and for some reason in the last game we played when we were really good 1 year, we had to play the Jets at home in the last game, and 1 year was the Buffalo Bills in the last game. So, and we jumped out on them both. We jumped out to a big lead. And Shula was not big and would shut down the offense if you had too much of a lead. The guy was all, it would just, he would never embarrass anybody. He would never, like, no, we're not going to throw it. And he had to be careful because we had some good passing teams that we didn't get carried away and put an extra 14 on somebody in the fourth where Shoes didn't feel good about it. So we were always careful stuff. But all those guys knew their incentives, and I don't think he'll care if I tell the story. So Mark Clayton and Mark Duper had incentives tied to their base contract. So not only did they make a lot of extra money every year for being two of the top receivers in the NFL when we had a 1A and a 1A. And so those guys put up huge numbers, but also that money got added on to their base salary for the next year. I'd never heard of it at the time.
Right there,
but
right,
listen, yeah. they were fighting to become – we had a lot of guys fighting on that team back then to be highest paid at their positions. It was tough for those guys to get the money. So the incentive money, our team, the Robbie family, was really big on incentives. So that's good and bad. I mean, that'll keep guys playing. But that last game of the year when you're really good and at halftime, I saw our coach tell our top two wide receivers, you're done. You're not going to play in the second half against the Bills. Bills were terrible. I mean, it was back when they'd already checked. I think some of them weren't even getting on the airplane to go back to Buffalo. I think they had rent-a-cars down in Miami, and they were just taking off for home. But – and I saw some guys go, and they go, oh, no. I'm going back in. He goes, no. You're done. We got to rest up. We got the playoffs start next week, or we got a bye week, and I don't want you guys to a chance to get hurt. These conversations were taking place. So, you know, I had the best seat in the house sitting there listening to this while I still had to play, by the way. And so I was listening, and he goes, no. I'm going back in unless you're going to pay me. Now, this is taking place as the second half's going on. So we're going out, and Shoes goes, no, I told him, you go sit down. You're done. And one of the Marx brothers said, no, I need X amount of catches, and I need like 10 or 15 yards in receptions to get a big – it might have been 25 to 50,000 to get that incentive. I'm getting it, unless you know for sure that the Robbie family – now, this is going on while the game's going on, this conversation.
This is crazy, right.
And Mark didn't back down. Those guys were good. I go, no. This is business right now. I understand the playoffs, and we all get paid the same during the playoffs and that stuff. So this is really my last chance in the second half of this game where we're kicking these guys' ass. There's no reason you can't put me in there and throw me one more pass. And, you know, Shoes doesn't know this, obviously, at half. He's trying to, you know, he's coaching the team and making sure he's got his key guys out in the second half at the Orange Bowl while this game's going on. And so those were the things that went on that were real, where some of the good players will go up to the coach. I would never have the basketballs to do it. But I walked out mad one day, but it was more mad at myself for my offensive pass interference and dropping a ball and then coming up one short. I had nobody to blame but myself. But these guys, these are big incentives, and those guys were good players, and they knew, and the coach knew, and everybody knew. And those guys went up and said, hey, I need one or two more catches and another 15 or 20 yards to get whatever the number was. 1,000 yards, 1,200 yards, 1,100, whatever that number was. And I remember Mark right in the coach's face. And I was thinking, why, he's coaching. I'm going, man, you've got some huge basketballs. God bless you, the fact that you're such a good player that you can get away with this right now. We're getting right. Super late. By the way, he did not go back in, and he was in no mood after the game. It was like you would have thought we might have lost the game. That was not good. It was not good. But I will tell you, it's 7 o'clock hours coming up. We running super late. I didn't even notice it was late, but it's kind of – that's the way it's kind of going right now. Everything's late. What the hell's going on? We're a friggin' mess. We'll be right back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.